Ramsey TV.
If you haven't seen the Grace Cafe broadcast from yesterday, check it out. It is a really hard-hitting expose of the grand mistake of posting the Ten Commandments anywhere, let alone in schools, with impressionable young minds full of mush. I make a prediction in this video 25 years ago that if the Ten Commandments were to be posted in the schools, that school shootings would increase. Yeah, terrible prediction, but that has come tragically true, because the law produces in human beings, in flawed human beings, the very thing that it purports to prevent. And this is by design. So, and that's only the beginning. I mean, I totally hijacked that show, that broadcast from 1999 in WCCD, Cleveland, largest Christian radio station in Cleveland, Ohio. And you don't want to miss it. It's a real compact teaching on the purpose of the law. I'm Martin Zender. You're at MCTV. I'm glad you're here. This is the last day I plan on talking about this whole thing about competing together in the faith, about running a race and getting awards granted to us at the dais of Christ. If you want to see how graciousness works, look at Ashley's response to me. She said, "Hi, Martin. I only use the Concordant Literal Version, and then Young's Literal Translation to compare to the CLB when I teach. I don't use the KJV or any other translation. I'm not sure why you are saying I'm using a bad translation. Requital is getting only rewarded. We all get applause at the dais. Grace and peace." Right now, I want to emphasize grace and peace, and she has a red heart. Let me tell you, I'm usually one who don't go for the emojis, but a red heart goes a long way. This is how mature back and forth goes on between members of the body of Christ. This is how it's done. Ashley defends herself. She starts with, "Hi, Martin." Great start. And she defends herself. And I was wrong to think she was using a different version. She says, "I'm not sure why you're saying I'm using a bad translation. The only way I thought that is because of her idea that the dais of Christ was a place of condemnation and punishment," her words. I'm thinking, where is she getting that idea? Must be getting it from a bad translation. Turns out, no, it was just her idea. It came out of her own head. It's wrong. But I thought for sure she was getting it out of a bad translation. So I am sorry for that, Ashley. And I will see your red heart, and I will raise you two red hearts, and I will see your grace and peace, and I will add love. And I will say, requital is not only getting rewarded. If you read the passage, we shall be requited, 2 Corinthians 5:10, for what we put into the body, whether good or bad. So requital is not just getting rewarded. It's also having works burned up, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But this is how graciousness works. This is what maturity looks like. Well, we can have these conversations. It had to be tough for Ashley to watch me making these videos, and she handled this with great aplomb, great maturity, maturity beyond her years, and I thank her for that. And don't worry, Ashley, it's almost over, okay? It's almost over here. I promised you on Friday that I was going to tell you about the basketball coach, just briefly, that my son Paul had in high school. At the end of basketball camp, every summer, there was a competition. And they had various competitions. Within the realm of basketball, there was a free throw competition, one-on-one, dribbling competition. What else? What else do you do? Three-point shots. And ordinarily, with the coach Paul had before, the winner would get a first-place trophy. And if one kid worked hard all summer and excelled and came out and won all five or six or however many competitions there were, then he got five or six first-place trophies. That makes sense, doesn't it? You reward the kid who does the hard work, and then the kids who get the second-place trophies, there were second-place trophy. They had them put that on their shelf. That's nice to work harder next year. Maybe you'll get the first-place trophy. Not this coach. Not this coach. You know what he said? He said, I have a new rule for this competition that no one person can get more than one trophy. Say again, coachy coach, what? No, more than one person cannot get more than one trophy. So if one person wins the free throw competition and also wins the one-on-one competition, he will have to give one of those trophies to the second place winner. Okay, so let me see if I get this straight. The guy who wins the second competition doesn't get anything. And the kid who doesn't win gets a first place trophy. Is that what I'm hearing? So the kid that doesn't win has to look at a first place trophy the rest of his life and know that he didn't earn that. Do you know what the coach's excuse was for that? I kid you not. Well, I don't really like trophies. Then why do you have a table full of shining trophies that all the kids are drooling after? They want one. Why do you even have them on the table? This is what I mean when I say that this socialist idea, this communist idea of redistribution of wealth burns people on both ends. It takes away the motivation. Why would some kid then say to himself, I want to win it all. I want to be good at everything so I can get that first place trophy. When he knows he can't win more than one. That, do you see what that does to the kid's motivation? And how would the other kids who are subpar, why would they be motivated to work? Because they say, well, even if I finish second or third, I might get a first place trophy. Who knows? It's just wrong. It demotivates everyone. It rewards people who shouldn't be rewarded. Some people just don't win trophies. If one kid wins all the trophies, congratulations. Look at that kid. You want to be that kid next year with all the trophies? Scott Hicko, he's a basketball coach. He's watching this show. He's going, yeah, yeah, yeah. You want to win those trophies? Then work hard like this kid did. And this is the layout in the scriptures. Paul says, run so as to win the prize. Do you think if I perform in a subpar way, do you think I want a first place trophy? Hell no. But don't you think that I'll applaud the person who gets the first place trophy? Hell yes. If the competition is fair, if the rules are being followed, which in God's sight, God's not going to hand out wages or rewards or trophies. He's not going to hand them out based on illicit activity or cheating or anything like that. No, God says, Paul says, from God, we have to compete according to the rules. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful system. This coach ruined everything. I wrote him a letter. Now, today, I would have gone out on the floor in the middle of his presentation and said, ho, hold a minute. Hold on a minute. This is a great object lesson here of the evils of communism. And I would have preached that. That's what I would have done today. But back then I was a little more circumspect, a little more shy. And I wrote him a letter. I wasn't that shy. And I told him how evil it really was and how detrimental it was to the kids' motivation. And it was doing a disservice to give a first place trophy to a kid who didn't win. So what are you doing here, coach? He admitted, well, you might have a point. Oh, thanks. What are you going to do about it? I forget what happened next year. The year after that, I forget what happened. So in this edition of MZTV, I'm going to talk about this competition between the saints. Paul says, compete together in the faith. And I'm going to give some great quotes from other believers who quoted on, I think it was Friday's video. You're going to love this. But let me quote from Ashley here in the video that she made. It's her thought here that the adversary wants us to compete against each other. So she sees this whole truth about awards and prizes being handed out, she sees it as a bad thing because apparently competition is a bad thing. But that's a political philosophy. That's not the truth of God. Competition is not a bad thing. Paul uses the very word, competing together in the faith. But Ashley believes that it's Satan that wants us to compete, not together, she says, against each other. In a sense, we're competing against each other, but it's like John Lennon and Paul McCartney competed against each other. John would write Strawberry Fields, and then Paul said, oh my God, that's a great song. Oh, I got to come up with something that's going to at least be as good as that. So he writes Penny Lane. And they continually, John and Paul did this together. It was against each other in a way, but they did it for the good of the band. And it was magic. And the breakup of the Beatles had nothing to do with one guy writing a better song than another guy. It was all about business in the end. It wasn't about that. This is what made the Beatles great. The competition between John and Paul and George. Poor George, he had to work so hard just to get a song in there. But it drove him to write a song like Something on the Abbey Road album, and Here Comes the Sun. And John and Paul couldn't deny that this guy had become quite the songwriter, and he gets two songs in on their last album, Abbey Road. George was driven to that competition. I mean, and there's some egos involved there, yeah. John Lennon, Paul McCartney, hell yeah, there's some egos involved there, George Harrison. But it made the Beatles great. And this competition in the body of Christ makes the body of Christ great. So this is not of the adversary, Ashley. Well, it could be. The adversary wants us to compete against each other in a negative sense. But we're any of us who are competing for a prize, we're not doing it that way. It's not a biting and clawing and scratching your way and knocking other people down in order to get what you want. And Greg had a great quote. Greg Davis, he says, others don't lose when we win. That's the way it is in the basketball camp. Some guy wins, everybody else loses. The guy in second place is the first loser. That's the way it is in sports. That's the way it ought to be. That's what makes people better. It's what gives them the fire in them to succeed. But others, in this, in the body of Christ, others don't lose when we win. So we're not striving for anything that's going to put anyone else down. That's never any. It's the farthest thing from my mind that other people would be put down. And I would be the loudest cheerer, honor of anyone who competes better than I do. I'd be like, yes, I know how hard that was. Freaking fantastic. I swear to God, you can quote me. You wait till it happens and you'll see. Sender said he was going to applaud the guy who betters him. And look, he's doing it. Of course, I'll take what I can get. But I'm not going to, the quotes I'm going to read to you will show this beautifully. I'm not going to be mad or be envious of someone else's award. It's ridiculous. John Lennon, Paul McCartney. You think Lennon was pissed when Penny Lane became a great hit? No. You think Lennon was upset when Paul McCartney wrote Yesterday? No. Because they both shared songwriting credit. So Lennon McCartney, no matter who wrote what, it's Lennon McCartney. You think Paul was upset when John Lennon wrote Help? Hell, that song went to number one. Oh, damn it. I wish he might have said privately, oh, that's a great song. I wish I had written that. But he's like, John, great job, man. That put us on the charts again. Boom. That's how it works. If that's how it works in the Beatles, I think that's how it can work in the body of Christ. I know. Satan wants us to compete against each other, Ashley says. He wants to create separation between people. He doesn't want members of the body of Christ to be close. He doesn't want them to share glory with each other. He wants them to try and hoard glory for themselves or to try and fight over fleshly rights. And if we're fighting, then we're not focusing on the truth. If there's some types of like jealousy or a sect that makes or pulls us apart instead of brings us together, she says it's all a bad thing. It's all a bad thing. But I don't see this happening in the body of Christ. Do you? Does competition have to be this way? Of course not. Ashley's painting a very, very dark picture. I've never seen any evidence of this in the body of Christ. Never seen it. If Scott Hicko makes a video that gets 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 10,000 hits. I'm like, yeah, go get them. If somebody ends up getting more subscribers than me, woo, go for it. You know, somebody once said to me, this was back in 1996, there was a pastor at the church at Newport News called Robert Allen. And Allen was very Pentecostal. He was a very emotional speaker, and he liked to get people fired up. And he had the eons. He had the salvation of all. He had the sovereignty of God. He was pretty good. Pretty good. And somebody said to me one time, Zender, watch out. Watch out. Robert Allen's coming up. I looked at him like, what? What the hell are you talking about? You think like I look at myself as the king of the hill. I'm going to defend my turf and nobody better. That's absolutely absurd. I mean, it was an insult that somebody would think that. On the other hand, if somebody makes a great video and I'm like, oh, why didn't I think of that? I'll make a video and try to make it better. That's the Lennon-McCartney interaction. It's a Lennon-McCartney alchemy at work. Yeah, I'm competitive. I am competitive. So, but it's not in a negative way. It's not like Greg said. It's not that others have to lose for me to win. No, I want everybody to win. And everybody's going to win, Ashley. Everybody's going to win. The person who gets 7 trophies and the person who gets none, they're all going to win. And they're all going to be happy for each other. So Satan might want what you're talking about, but what you're talking about here, I don't see anywhere in the scriptures. Let me show you a great example of what Paul's talking about here in 1 Timothy 5, 17 and 18. 1 Timothy 5, 17. Let elders who have presided ideally be counted worthy of double honor. Double honor. You're letting that guy get 2 trophies? No. Let elders who have presided ideally be counted worthy of single honor and give the second honor to somebody who's not worthy, to somebody who's sitting on his ass and doesn't want to provide any service for the body of Christ. That's what the basketball coach would have done. What does Paul say? Oh, if this person is presiding ideally, he's worthy of double honor, especially those who are toiling in word and teaching. Toiling, working, toiling. This is toil. This is work and reward, work and reward. It's a great system. It makes you get up in the morning, work and reward. If a man is not willing to work, neither shall he eat. Work and reward. It's essential. It's the stuff of happiness. If you want to demoralize a person and kill them, just give them something for nothing. You will destroy a person's dreams and desires by giving them money for doing nothing. That's so damaging, because human nature is such that, well, I remember the government told my wife's grandfather that if he let his field lay fallow, he would get more money. Some stupid government thing. That's a redundancy. I don't know what was up, but for some reason these farmers were getting paid to leave their fields fallow. And so her grandfather did it. I said, what are you doing? You're not going to work. You're not going to get on that tractor. He goes, I can't afford not to do this. And they made it. The government made it so that by doing nothing, you would get more. It was absolutely demoralizing. He became depressed. He sat around, didn't plow, didn't plant, didn't get out there in the sunshine. And that's just so horrible. And so this is motivation for work. Let's read that again. Let elders who have presided ideally be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who are toiling in word and teaching. Worthy. They're worthy of it. You see how Paul's living in the relative here? Ashley would say, no, nobody's worthy of anything. And that's what she says. Nobody's worthy of anything. We're not worthy of salvation. Obviously not. So why would we be worthy of a wage? That's her illogical conclusion. We're not worthy of salvation. How can we be worthy of work, of wages for doing work? And yet Paul says that very thing. Let him be counted worthy. He's worthy. It's relative. I know that. Again, just because something is presented as something you gain from toil like a wage or a prize doesn't mean that grace is now out of the picture. It's still by the grace of God. It's just not announced as such. The evangel is announced as, in grace are you saved through faith, and this is not out of you. It's announced right off the bat. This is not announced that, don't forget, you can do nothing unless it's the grace of God operating in you. Of course, it's true. We know that. That's our default setting. No one can do anything except what God does in them. We know that. But it's not mentioned here. It just says, hey, whoever's toiling in the word and teaching and presiding ideally at the same time, give that guy all the trophies. Give that guy every piece of hardware that you got. But why, Paul? He's worthy of it. But Paul, nobody's worthy of anything. Well, you take it up with Paul. That's what I say. I would say very kindly to Ashley with three red hearts, you know, take that up with Paul. I'll take that up with Paul. That basketball coach, no. Basketball coach would take the second honor and give it to the guy twiddling his thumbs over in the corner. All right, now I'm going to close. Don't you hate it when I say that? Because I know you love to hear, you love these shows. I hate it when I say it. But, you know, I look at my time and you know, I got to close sometime. It is depressing. I understand what you must go through when I say in closing, or I'll finish with this. It's got to be terrible. But the good news is I'm back tomorrow. That's the good news. Listen to some of these comments. I am going to quote now from Taylor Wolfman. This is from my show on, was it Friday? Yeah, MZTV 1526, Three Sincere Young People Audaciously Question God. Did I really title it that way? That was an audacious title. Taylor Wolfman says this, good morning, Martin. I think it would be pertinent to also bring up the fact with Ashley and her friends that whatever God grants us or doesn't grant us, we are going to be at perfect peace with. Yes, there's going to be no regret, no jealousy, no lack, no hard feelings, and no dissatisfaction. Man, I couldn't have said that better myself, which pisses me off, and I want to say it better. See, I'm competitive. But I'm happy that Taylor Wolfman said it. I'm so happy that I'm reading it to you, and I'm saying, this believer is really nailing it here. Very wise thing to say. I'm going to read that again. No regret, no jealousy, no lack, no hard feelings, no dissatisfaction. Ashley and her friends may feel that way now in their mortal state, but once we are made immortal and have the mind of Christ, there will be no more confusion about what we receive and why. Ugh. On top of that, it sounds like she is one of the body to strive for the prize. Encourage her in a constructive way. This is exactly right. Ashley is subconsciously competing for a prize. She doesn't think she is, obviously. But Ashley, I can't wait to see when God calls you up. Ashley, you'll be looking around like, who, what, me, what? Come and get your award. Award, what? No, there's no awards here. I didn't do anything special. Get up here, girl. Get up here. And Ashley's going to get medals, and it's going to be fantastic. And I'll wink at Ashley. I'll say, I told you so. I told you so. You think Ashley's going to say, no, I'm not worthy of these. Take them back. I didn't do anything. What do you mean you didn't do anything? You started a video channel. You're studying like crazy. You read with great verve and vigor and spiritual lust that it's impressive to all of us. So that's the irony here is, the very person who is actually going to receive rewards for their work is like saying, nah, there's no rewards for work. And now Taylor Wolfman addresses Ashley. Ashley, if you and your friends are reading this, well, they might not be reading it, but now they're hearing it read to them by Martin Sender. Ashley, if you and your friends are reading this, love, grace, and peace to you. I pray that you all keep growing in the growth of God, and that it is His will that you all achieve great rewards and prizes. Please do not take God's high and low rankings as an insult. The great and the lowly are all necessary and needed in the body of Christ in order for that body to work. Just keep striving, and whatever it is God inspires you to strive for, and be at peace, knowing that whatever happens, it is for the best of everyone. That should be needle-pointed onto a plaque and hung on the wall. That is so beautiful, Taylor Wolfman. Thank you for that. Greg Smith, listen to this. At the dais of Christ, what is the disposition that must be? We will be filled with such love for God, Christ, and other members of the body of Christ that what God does with what is his will not bring dissatisfaction, but joy and exaltation. How satisfying it will be to have immortality free from sin with God's gift of Christ's mind and righteousness. I put my own comments on these comments, just praising these comments, which if a comment is good, I will praise it. I will. Greg Davis says, looking at this from a slightly different perspective, the works that are burned up isn't punishment exactly. And I don't know where Ashley got the idea that the deus was punishment. Why would God punish believers? This is where I said that Ashley is asking why. And because she has this wrong idea about the deus. She knows the deus exists. 2 Corinthians 5:10, 1 Corinthians 3. It's there, and she's questioning God, right? Remember that from Friday? Sorry to bring that up again, Ashley. But yeah, you were questioning God because you think this is punishment. Why would you punish God? Why would you condemn people at the deus? But again, he's not. Greg is emphasizing this. The works that are burned up isn't punishment. They are useless works that diminish the glory of Christ given to us. They are burned up. They are burned up, not us. Exactly right. Good emphasis. We aren't damaged by this spiritual fire. This isn't a win-lose situation. That which is good and holy remains. Only that which is useless is burned up. It must be this way, or we would have to live forever with these useless works around our necks. This is a gift of God. He's speaking of the deus, and it is. Not a punishment or a condemnation. So, Ashley, I really hope you change your mind about that. God sees us as flawless. After the deus experience, we actually will be. And there is the answer to what the deus is about. God now sees us as flawless. Remember, Ashley had a problem with that. How do people who God see as flawless, why do they need to have some works burned up? Because now God sees us as flawless. After the deus, we actually will be flawless. Ashley, you have to remember, right now we are reckoned to be righteous, but we're not yet constituted righteous because we still sin. So we're seen as righteous by God. This goes along with Ephesians 1, holy and flawless in his sight. That's the key. After the deus experience, we will actually be flawless. And after the deus experience, we will actually be constituted just and not just reckoned to be just or righteous by God. Greg continues, we must be careful. Anytime the why would God question comes up in your mind, be careful. And I agree, be careful. God is omniscient. We aren't. He knows what he's doing. Whew. That is a great comment. And I think it's a beautiful one to end on. Thank you for that, Greg. Thank you for everyone. I wish I could read everybody's comment. You really like it when I read the comments. You said so, and I do too. I love your input. I try to answer everyone. So I think for me, this topic's laid to rest. I think, I hate to say what I'm going to do tomorrow because I might not do it, but I think tomorrow I'm going to talk about what I promised you. I would talk about the temple veil being rent and what that meant for both gospels, the gospel of Israel and the gospel that had yet to come on the scene, which is the gospel of the uncircumcision. Until then, we're competing together. Even now, there should be no jealousy, no envy. Even now, we should applaud the worthy works of other people and realize that the success of any member of the body of Christ is the success of the whole.